Blog Talk Radio.
Well, listen, good evening. I was about to say good morning, but good evening. It's morning somewhere. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome once again to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Sitting at my side or across the table from me is none other than Mary Ann Williams. Around the table, we call her Mama. Mama, good evening to you.
And good evening to you, and good evening to my PRF family. I'm excited that you could be with us this evening. And I'm hoping that you will enjoy the show. And with that being said, I'll pass it over to Dr. Dunlap.
Amen, amen. So, for those of you who have not been with us before, this may be your first time listening to the PRF table. We are ecstatic that you've taken the time out. And what we want to do is just tell you where we are. We are in a closeout of a monthly series focusing on identity theft. And at the end of the day, as we've been talking about identity theft every Thursday of this month, August 2018, the whole focus, if you can really grasp it, those of you who have been with us, has really been about one thing, and that's protecting yourself and protecting your family. Our hope is that as we have been discussing what we have discussed, what we close out with tonight, that you have enough information for you to be able to say, I want more. I want more. As I said maybe last week or the week before last, at the end of the day, there is no way that you can expect to totally be fed over a 30-minute show on Thursday evening as you're driving home from work. There's no way to expect that you're going to totally be fed as you're cooking dinner, as you're taking a child from practice, getting them home to get their homework done. So what we're really encouraging all of you to do is to really focus on taking this information and letting it be a kickstart. A kickstart to say, let me reach out to the PRF team. And if you're a pastor, if you're a leader, I'm praying that God has pricked your heart where you say, let me call Dr. Dunlap and the team in so that they can come and feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. See, here's the deal. This is one of these areas, identity theft, that a lot of people may not be aware of. And I said this the other day, Mama, or last week and the week before last. I said, this last show of the month is really geared toward the leaders. And it's geared toward the leaders because I'm really speaking to you first and foremost as leaders of congregations and leaders of ministries. There's one thing that you just don't want to experience as a leader, and that's dealing with somebody whose identity has been stolen. Hear me, Mama, as a leader, they don't want to have to deal with somebody else within their fold being the victim of identity theft. Here's what you have to understand about identity theft. It doesn't last one day. Identity theft lasts for years in many cases. The damage and the fallout and the residual that comes from people being a victim of identity theft takes a tremendous toll on families. It takes a tremendous toll, not just on families, but also on churches. And so I'm here to tell you that this is an area that although this may not be one of the items on your church roster, although there may not be a ministry designed for identity theft, it falls within credit and debtor first cousin. This is one of many lessons. And I'm pleading to my brothers and my sisters, those who wear the collars, have the chains inside of their pockets, those who wear the robes, I'm pleading to us as religious leaders right now, because it's a requirement for us to make sure we're taking care of the sheep. Now that I got that out, I want us to focus on a passage of scripture that it may not be the number one thing in your arsenal, but Mama, let me tell you, something that we got to deal with, and I want to focus on this whole notion of shepherding and being a shepherd. I know that being a shepherd, being a leader, especially a religious leader, is tough, it's challenging, it's difficult, it has its ups, it has its downs, but at the end of the day, as my good friend, Pastor Curtis Bishop, pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Phenix City, Alabama, he said this from the pulpit a couple of weeks ago when I visited with him. He said there's been a time when my good friend Dr. Dunlap actually came and I had a conversation with him because I leaned on him for some things. And he said, and I was talking to him and he let me go, and then at the end he asked me, was I done? And I said yes. And then he said, here's what he told me. You the pastor. He had there were some concerns that he had. There were some things that wasn't pleasant for him, whether it was in church, family, or whatever. That's his business to tell. But I'm here to tell you, this is what I told him. You the pastor. And I said, people are looking at you and how you respond to certain things. That has stuck with him all these years. And I'm grateful that God's mama just used me as a vessel.
Yes, that's good.
To be able to speak that into his life. And so I say that to my fellow clergy, my fellow ministers of the gospel, in this area of identity theft, you the pastor, whether you are the lead pastor, your title is lead servant, whether you're the pope, whether you're the Christian education coordinator, whether you're a pastor of Christian education, there is somebody within that congregation that needs to step up and take the lead and say, you know what, to the powers that be on earth within your church, this is something that we need. Remember a couple of weeks ago, I brought this up and I was very intentional about this. I said, we've had a couple of incidents over the years. We can go to Emmanuel and AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. We can go to the one that had the shooting in Texas a couple of months ago. We can go to several of our schools around the country, Sandy Hook, and we can go to different movie theaters that have had people that have done things like mass shootings. We can go to Las Vegas, and we can see the violence, Mama.
Yes.
The violence that has occurred. And in every instance, every situation, what we don't hear about is all of the security measures that they took ahead of time. But you sure as heck hear about the security measures that they took afterwards. I said this to an esteemed chaplain colleague of mine I was talking to earlier today, and you've heard it if you've been listening to us over the last 4 weeks. I said that 60 million people have already been affected by identity theft this year. And that was as of June, July. So my question to my fellow co-laborers, my fellow men and women of the gospel, what are we waiting on? We do not have time, my brothers and sisters, to act like this will never hit our doorstep and not be prepared. You don't want to be, and again, I'm making an appeal to my fellow pastors and religious leaders. You don't want to be the pastor of that young couple that just got married, and as so many young couples do, get married and don't have a lot of stuff in order, Mama.
I understand
that. You don't want to be the pastor of that young couple that gets married. and one of them becomes the victim of identity theft. How do you respond? I think I told y'all, I told you a couple of days ago, Mama, the sermon on Sunday, this past Sunday, was how to respond when there's a need.
Yes.
So let me ask the question. As a pastor, as a religious leader, how do you respond to the people's needs should they become a victim of identity theft? How do you respond? Do you say, I don't want to go to my book of James, but do you say that God's going to work it out when their money is locked up and frozen in an account until this mess gets resolved? Because the bank doesn't know you who did it, whether it is you or whether it was somebody else. Do you tell them that we don't have enough money in the benevolence to pay your bills for the month while you're working on this? What do you do to respond to that type of need, Mama? What do you do? These are the questions I'm bringing to us now. Because we have traditionally not done a very good job at being prepared for things. And let me go back to what I said earlier about the shootings in the churches, and the shootings in the schools, and the shootings in the movie theaters. What have so many people done afterwards, Mama?
Yes,
They put a lot of things in place, a lot of protocols in place, a lot of SOPs have been developed. And I'm not saying you need to spend 100 hours of time on something like this, but by all means, it really seems bad when a situation happens and then we react. When God is speaking right now, I need you to put some things in place. Here's the deal. Once you put it in place, then all you have to do is come back and do follow-up. Once you learn certain things about how to protect yourself, when you get those applications in the mail that you didn't ask for, you can opt out. You can opt out so you don't receive those in the mail anymore. Does that mean everything's going to stop tomorrow? It does not. But what happens when you get those applications for credit cards inside the mail? And you know good and doggone well, you're not applying for that at 25% interest.
That's right.
I've been through credit and debt or first cousins course with PRF. My credit is better than that. What do you do? Do you throw it in the trash? No. If we teach on these things, if you allow the teaching to come, then you'll realize, hold on, I can't throw that in the trash. I need to go and shred this. I need to make sure that nobody is able to just pick this out of my trash can and fill it out and put a different address on it. And so when they send the credit card, they don't send it to your home address. They send it to the address that's on the application that was sent back. And somebody signed your name and forged your name on that credit application. And if you don't, as so many people neglect or fail to do for various reasons. And if you're one of those individuals that hasn't checked your credit report, listen, Mom, I got folks that tell me they haven't checked their credit report in 5 years. You ain't checked your credit report in 5 years, but you bought a car 2 years ago. Maybe you had the power to identify what the enemy was brewing up 3 years ago. But there's a passage of scripture in the Bible, and it's in Acts chapter 7, Mama, if I'm not mistaken. It's the story of Philip as he's going down and he encounters the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch, Mama, was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. You remember that?
Yes,
from,
I remember
from the scroll
that.
Of Isaiah. And I said seven, I should have said eight, right? But the text says in chapter 8 that it was the Lord who said to him through an angel for him to go down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And it was there was the place where on that traveling road was where the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over to this Ethiopian eunuch who is reading from this scroll of Isaiah. So the angel of the Lord gave him direction to go on this journey. And then it was the Holy Spirit that said, now this is the next thing that I need you to do.
Yes.
I'm encouraging my pastors. I'm encouraging my colleagues. Listen, you may not get a word directly from the Lord on what to do with this. But don't think that the Lord is not speaking through his Spirit. And his Spirit may not come directly to you. It may be through somebody else, and somebody else that may come to you and say, hold on, listen, Pastor, we need to get on this and start working on this right now. We need to work on this right now. But let me go back to Philip, the part that I was bringing out about Philip, because Philip said, listen, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch says, how can I unless somebody instructs me? How can I unless somebody gives me some knowledge on what I'm reading? And so if this is not your area, if it's not your area, then I'm going to be willing to say, as a shepherd, you're not shepherding the people in this area if you don't know about it. So if you don't know about it and you're not shepherding the people in this area, then what do you think, what should you expect to happen to the people? Why should the enemy not sift them like wheat? Why should the enemy not attack in this area and the people are sitting there left defenseless on something, Mama, that we know has affected 60 million plus people this year alone? It's a mindset. That's the bottom line. It's a mindset. Think about this. Every last one of the situations that I mentioned, all of the school shootings, all of the mass killings from Vegas to others, all of the church shootings. Mama, if you take all those incidents that have happened within this year alone, you're not going to come anywhere close to 60 million. Mm-hmm. So just think about that for a moment. And I'm grateful for everybody who's listening so you can hear what the Spirit is saying. All of those incidents alone didn't affect 1 million people. And I say affect, I'm talking about directly affect. I'm not talking about the love and the concern and the pain that you feel for your brother and your sister. I'm going beyond that. I get that. We understand that. I'm talking about, see, there's a difference when somebody broke in my house a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Y'all was like, man, y'all felt my pain, but they ain't take your stuff. They ain't bust down your back door. So you can empathize with me. But that thing didn't affect you one-on-one. So I'm talking about the one-on-one right now.
Right.
It wasn't even 1 million people one-on-one. It wasn't 500,000 people one-on-one. It wasn't even, hasn't even been 100,000 people one-on-one. Yet in this area, 60 million people have been directly affected. But let me tell you, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy comes to enact fear a lot of times. And sometimes it's not a bad thing when the enemy enacts fear in us, because sometimes that's the thing that we need to get our butts in gear to do the things that we need to do sometimes that God has been speaking to us about for years. So let me throw this out here. A shepherd. And I'm almost done, Mama. A shepherd. I believe that any of us who God has called to lead God's people, whether it's in congregational ministry, chaplaincy, executive director of a nonprofit ministry, associate pastor, chairman of the deacon board, elder, whatever the titles fall, Mama, I just believe.
Yes.
The people are looking to us for leadership. It would have been a very bad thing, Mom, if the church in Texas did not put any type of protocols in place.
That's right.
After those people were murdered violently in that church. If they didn't put anything in place, then you have to believe that as the shepherd of the house, or under shepherd, or however you communicate it in your theology, the leader of the house, the servant of the house, you have to believe that now, after that incident occurred, that people are not as trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
People don't all of us just don't come back and have open arms for any old body. Listen, I'm a black man. I walk into a white church that something like this happened. They may look at me a little strange if the person that committed that incident was a black man.
That's right.
And they have no black men in their congregation, or vice versa. I'm a white man. It happened at Emmanuel in South Carolina. You can imagine that if I'm a 100-pound, 5'4" white man or young boy walking in that church, you got to believe that they may look a little bit differently. Not saying that they're going to treat the people differently, but there's something about when an incident occurs that people start taking notice of things.
Mm-hmm.
These
yeah.
are violent acts. And I want to make it, listen, I'm bringing this thing home, Mama. I want everybody to understand the violent nature of identity theft. See, a lot of people, I'm going to tell some of my business. I have experience in this area, Baba.
Yes.
And so you have to understand that this is a violent thing that occurs. A lot of times people think that economic crimes, they're the non-violent crimes. But let me tell you something. Economic crimes are some of the most violent crimes because they often go unnoticed. And the impact that it has on individuals is violent. Is violent because that act begat something else within the spirit realm that has people committing suicide when their money ain't right, Mama.
Yes.
When they can't pay their bills, Mama, as a head of a house. These things happen, and folks don't think that this is violent. Yes, it is violent. Why would you even classify anything that the enemy comes to do when it comes to steal, kill, and destroy other than violence?
Right.
I understand that there's a difference between armed robbery and robbery. The only difference, I'm going to make it real simple for those who are not in my criminal justice class. Armed robbery with a gun, with a weapon. Robbery without a weapon. So I can come to an individual and I can say to an individual, give me your stuff. You can believe that I have something that's going to harm you, but I may not. But if I show you and I brandish the barrel of a weapon into your face, oh, yeah, there's no question about that. But at the end of the day, whether the person did armed robbery or just strong armed robbery, they still stole something from them.
Right.
And you can't sit up there, and nobody else can sit up there and tell that individual, Mama, oh, it really wasn't that violent. They didn't hurt the individual. Listen, you got to understand, the enemy comes steal, kill, and destroy. There's a mental component to this, y'all. Please hear me.
Yes.
There's a mental component to this. When somebody has come in and has stolen the very thing that God has allowed you to have, which is your name, and when the Bible tells us that a good name is worth more than rubies, a good name is worth more than riches, and somebody has come in and stole something that I try to keep as a good thing, no. Let's not diminish this. Let's not act like this thing is not as serious as it is because it hasn't hit your doorstep. Let's not act like this thing is not as serious as it is because that individual that's within your congregation, that's part of that crew, which every congregation has, that's giving the most in the church, because now it happened to them. Now we got to do something. Let's not, listen, I'm pleading to my leaders. Let's not do what continues to happen after certain situations happen that are not positive, that cause people a lot of grief and stress. Because, Mama, here's what I know. Not everybody acts when you're supposed to act. And I'm no different.
Right.
I don't move every time God says to move. Lord, forgive me, but I just don't sometimes for whatever reason. But you know what, Mama? When I don't make certain moves, I don't have anybody constantly coming to me saying, listen, get your stuff together. Get your stuff together, bruh. Get your stuff together. You have that in us, my friends, because we keep coming back to you with the same thing over and over and over again. Because it's necessary. It's necessary.
It is.
We talked last week, for those who weren't with us, we talked about, we talked from the book of Genesis with the story of Jacob and Esau and how that rascal just tricked his daddy.
Yes.
Tricked their daddy into believing that that was him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to end tonight talking about that one more time. Because in that situation, you have to understand that that is no different than a lot of what's going on today.
That's right.
You have, in so much of our time as religious leaders is about people problems. It's about family problems and family situations. Well, let me leave us with this. You have individuals that did not learn about credit and debt growing up, Mama.
Yes, that's right.
You have individuals that are just trying to survive. You have individuals that don't know the implications of bad, having bad credit, because they know there's somebody that will give them some credit at 23% interest. So when you have people like that, those often are the ones that do the Jacob and Esau thing. They don't do it with their brother, Mama, or their sister. You know who they're doing it with? They're doing it with their children.
Children.
That's right, Mama. You know, you've heard it, you've seen about it, seen some of this too. They're doing it with their children. And so you have to know that there has to be a problem that we have to deal with. If a parent will put bills in their child's name because their stuff is not straight.
That's right.
Because they done messed up and they don't feel like they have no other way. But I got to get these lights on because I got to move out of this place and go into another place. Yeah, so since I'm going into this other place, I know I haven't paid the last bill that I owe. I haven't paid my last bill and I don't have money for a deposit. So these type of things are occurring, and I promise you, we don't want these to be the norm anymore. And a lot of people that become, and I'm going to tell you, it becomes still killing the story. The reason why this goes on for so long, Mama, we'll go over a few moments, but that's okay. God is all right with that. The reason why it goes undetected is because it's happening when the children are children. So the child is not dealing with credit at 10 and 11 and 12 and 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. But when they go off to college, Mama.
Yes.
And when it comes to a time when they have to sign for their own student loan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's not, it is nothing worse, Mama. I'm telling you, this is stuff that I know. I'm not just throwing out stuff here to you.
I know
this
that
is stuff
too.
That I know. I can't get a child can't get a student loan. And they can't get a student loan because there's some junk on their credit that's there because of their mother or their father or another relative that had access to their Social Security card, access to their date of birth.
And it splits the family, too. When someone was talking to me, And they would, I think it was when I was in Philadelphia, and they were so upset because they found out that the mother had done this to them. And seeing it affects the family, that they don't want anything to do with the mother anymore.
Mm.
Because it hurts so bad because they worked hard, you know, to have good credit. But, you know, they didn't think they had this. And then obviously they didn't check the report either, you know, going back to not checking your report. However, when she went to buy to get a house, and then that's when she found that out, and she was just so upset.
Mm.
You know, because she was like in her 30s, so see, she thought everything was just perfect. She's not gonna have any problems. Mm-hmm. She pays her bills. She has a good credit rating, you know.
Right. Right.
Yes. And then I've heard of others say, I hate to have to do this, but you know what I mean? I'm going to have to get it in my child's name. And this one, I was in Philadelphia. And I didn't quite understand that, you know, the really danger of that to the child. But, I, you know, my job was here. Well, I'm just sorry. You know, I have to move. It's too expensive. And I'm just going to have to get these lights in my child's name. And I used to hear that mm-hmm. on my job.
Wow. Because it's happened. It's happened. And there are so many people within the church. And again, I'm talking to our religious leaders again. There's so many things happening in the church with people. With people. In the pews and also sitting in the pulpit with us. And if we don't offer, and if you don't offer an opportunity for us to have the type of dialogue or to get this type of training that we offer, so that we can deal with these things right now and be better prepared. That's not a good sign of leadership. And so I'm not putting it all on pastors right now, Mama.
Yes, I
mentioned
understand.
Earlier a whole litany. I mentioned a whole litany of religious leaders.
Yes.
Because we can't put everything on the pastor. Listen, what does Paul say in, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I can't remember, but comfort those with the comfort we've been comforted with. Think about this, Mama. If you as a pastor just ask the question on Sunday, is there anybody here who has been the victim of identity theft? You have a crown jewel right there, depending on how they dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they've gone through and they've gone through the process of what it takes to help right this wrong that somebody else is doggone done to them, then wouldn't it be a good thing of leadership, a good thing of ministry, to open up a space for that individual to help comfort others with the comfort that they've been comforted with? If they are out of that thing, they
yes.
can say, look at what God has done for me.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Although I was the victim of identity theft, the Lord made sure that he covered me and they didn't freeze all my stuff for a whole month. It didn't mess up my credit rating like it could have. But even if it did go that route, you still want those same individuals to comfort others.
Yes.
Because
yes.
they've been through it. And it's not my fear, but here's my concern. My concern is that for some of our colleagues, Mama, some of our colleagues, this will not become important. Just like security in the church didn't become important until several churches had shootings. Security in schools didn't become important until several children got killed. Just my concern is there. Until it happens, then it will become a concern. And God is saying, no, my brothers and my sisters, leaders,
no.
stand up. I need you to be prepared right now. You mentioned something, Mom, and I think we're about done. You mentioned something that I thought was a way to bring this whole thing home about the enemy coming to steal, kill, and destroy.
Okay.
You mentioned families. So I'm going to kind of end it right there. You mentioned how it rips up families. When I, listen, if I am a 30-year-old man and my mother or my father, when I was young, put something in my name, and then because they never got caught, they did it again. And let me help you understand how credit works. I put something in, something was put in, placed in my name, an account was opened up in a light or a light bill. Or something, let's just go be something. And then my parents moved, and they didn't pay that light bill.
Right.
And so since they didn't pay that light bill, it became a thing of where we got to pay back.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't pay it back. And so it becomes something negative. Now let's say I'm 30 years old, right? You would say negative credit should fall off my credit report at 7 years, right? You know what? That is so true. It should have fallen off at 7 years. But because somehow a notice came to the house, my parents said, oh, my goodness, we got to do something. So, you know, I'm going to try to pay because I'm guilty. My parents say, you know what? They're guilty at what they've done. And it hasn't come up, so I don't know about it. So they say, you know what, Mr. Collection Company, what we're going to do? My dad is acting like he's me because we got the same doggone name. And so what he does is he pays something on it, and they're not clueless. They don't care. They just care. All they care about is getting their money. So you know what? I'll pay a little bit every month. Okay, Mr. Dunlap, no problem. We'll do that. And it's the collection company. So now the original debt that's with the water bill company, that original debt has a negative mark on my credit. And true enough, that should come off in 7 years. But now because my dad had uncontacted them to pay on it because he's feeling a little bit guilty now, right, because he's hearing about this or somebody talked about this, what they heard on the PRF table, now the clock of 7 years starts over again with the collection company. So I was 19 years old when this happened, and so now collection company they have this, and I made two pay my parents. My dad made two payments for me, so but it's still going to be on there for 7 years because that's how negative credit works. So that was 19, and it should come off when I was 26. But before I got to be the age of 26, the company that was collecting that I had this that my dad said I'm a pay on a little bit at a time. Guess what happens, mother?
Okay, another 7 years.
Right, because what happens, they decide to sell it to another collection company. So ABC Collection Company now has it. And now they start to ring out. But for some reason, I'm not living at home anymore. And because I'm not living at home anymore, that piece of mail comes to the house because my parents have been living there all their life. And I grew up there all my life, so they get the mail. And now something rings up in Dad, and Dad feeling bad and guilty. He doesn't feel guilty enough to the point of saying, let me tell you what I did to you, son, but you know, I'm going to get her into another thing. And so here I am 30 years old and now paid off, and some things happened with my dad, and so this is not one of the major things that gets paid anymore. So here I am 30 thinking things have been good, and now I decide that because I've been in the military, Mama, right? I've been in the military, so I've been living on the base, so I ain't never had an apartment. I ain't never thought about buying a house, but now I get married now, and they didn't take PRF or premarital counseling, right? They didn't take the PRF or premarital counseling, so they never came. I never came together with my soon-to-be spouse to make sure that we do one of the principles, which is dealing with our credit reports collectively and seeing what the other person has before we tie the knot, as if that's not loving. Right? So we never did that. And so now we get married. I move out my apartment and she moves out of hers, and we're getting ready to move out of hers, and we go apply at a place, and they're like, you know what? You got this collection on your credit, and we need you to get that fixed before we can let you get an apartment here or a house. And so now here I am saying, what in the world are we talking about? I ain't never had no electric, no water bill at such and such. And then upon further investigation, what occurs? I found out that it's at my house. Well, you must be wrong, Mr. Collection Company. I never had this. And there's ways we can tell you of how to deal with that. So I shouldn't be held responsible. But at that time, I can't get that apartment. At that time, I can't get that house. But the biggest thing to bring this thing home before I hit what Jesus said The biggest thing about it is when I found out, hold on, and I do the, y'all need to tell me where this came from. And then they say, well, let me tell you what happened, Mr. Dunlap. This account originated at Philadelphia Water Company. Philadelphia Water Company when? Look, man, y'all better get this crap off my credit report. I didn't have, listen, there's a Nathaniel Dunlap. I'm telling you, Nathaniel Dunlap didn't have no water in your company. And then they say, well, you know what? Here's the more details about the account. And then we find out after tracing back a little bit of the history that originated when I was 16 years old. So now here I am in a place where now I have to go to my father and say, look, sir, this must be some mistake. And let me tell you what, when I hear people talking about this happen, their parents deny it, mother.
Yes, yes.
Because the enemy has them wrapped up in shame and guilt.
Mm-hmm.
So they deny it. And then when it finally comes out that we did that because we was having a little rough time back then, we didn't think it was going to hurt anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dad, but look at what it's done to me. I'm thinking my credit's good. My fiance, my wife-to-be, we thinking my credit's good, and she's like, I'm irresponsible. So now here I am faced with the worst thing. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Destroy.
Here's another aspect of the destroying piece. Because the only way I get out of that thing is to say it wasn't me.
Right. And sometimes
I can say easily, I was 16. I couldn't put no water in my name anyway. You need to take this off. True enough. But what if I was 19 and I was of age? Right? I don't get that way out. So now I have to prove it was not me. And the only way I get to prove it was not me is to say that it was my father. And so if I say that it was my father, then now what has happened is my father is now guilty of a crime. And the only way that I'm going to get this taken care of and resolved my way is by going to the police department and filing a police report and or also going and filling out an affidavit to the company that says I owe them this money. And I can promise you, having a little insight to the criminal justice system as I do, they're not going to just take it wasn't me, because now it's a crime and it's an investigation that has to be opened. And so now what happens if I go and I say it was my father? What happens if my father is now the chairman of the deacon board in the church or he's the pastor? What now if my father is the one who's a very esteemed individual in the community? What about if my name just has a lot of weight in the community? So this thing is not just about destroying families. It's about destroying generations. Because that's the type of crap that the enemy does. He don't care. This joker does not care whether he destroys your name. He don't care whether he destroys your legacy. He don't care whether he destroys your finances. He doesn't care whether he destroys your marriage. All that joker depends on is living its life destroying. And at the end of the day, it makes it a whole lot better for it when he's destroying the life of a believer. Because it takes our time away from ministering to God's people and leading people to Christ. So, Mama, that's all I have.
Yeah.
I'm ending it there. I got one more thing. I got one more thing to say. Jesus said the beauty of it is that's not the end of the story, and it doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be that we live with the enemy coming to steal, kill, and destroy, even though it says he comes to do this. But if he does come, right, if he comes, then we can be prepared. We can learn the tools that are in place. We can get our congregations in place to be prepared for the enemy. I said this and I say it again. If somebody breaks into the church building, and they broke into the church building because you had one of those locks that you bought for $7.99 at the hardware store downtown, there's an expectation that you're going to put a more sturdier lock on the building.
Yes, it is.
You're going to put a sturdier lock on the building. But here's the thing. You can't do anything about what was taken on the inside because you didn't have a good lock on the building in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to suffer some of the criticism. Why did you have a $7.99 lock on a building where you know we, or in a room inside the church when you know we keep cash in there? People are not going to accept that as it's okay.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So here's my, I said I was done, but I'm done after this, Mama, I promise. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm pleading with us to make sure we get prepared. But that's not the end of the story. The end of the story is Jesus said in 10:10b, the B part of that verse is John chapter 10, verse 10, but I have come to give life and give life more abundant.
Yes.
So all that the enemy's trying to do, all these little breaches that we've already experienced over the last 4 years alone, from data being hacked, emails being hacked, sensitive information inside of emails, sensitive information being sent from email to email, unsecured, all those things that have occurred. Jesus said, I've come to give life and give life more abundantly. So why not operate with the fact that he's come to give life and give life more abundantly, which is a thing that overshadows all the foolishness and the stuff that the enemy does to steal, kill, and destroy our names, destroy our houses.
Amen.
Destroy our churches. Destroy our families. Destroy our marriages. Jesus said, I come to give life and give life more abundantly. So if anything that you can do as a pastor, anything you can do as a fellow co-laborer, a religious leader, to help people to live life more abundantly on this earth, knowing good and doggone well that Jesus said, this is why I came, so that you can have it. So here's all I'm asking. Let's help the people to have what Jesus came to give, and that's life more abundant. Mama, I'll let you give your final words tonight.
Okay.
I'm grateful.
We were going back to the parent when the child approaches the parent. Some parents will tell their children, okay, the children are grown. They come with this issue with wanting to know what happened, and then the parent gets defensive and said, well, you know, you needed, hey, you need the water too. I had to wash you, had to wash your clothes. I mean, they'll just go to the extreme. That's what I want to say. Because I heard
okay.
that been said, you know, to the child.
So, again, I want to come back to and leave on a high note.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, I've come to give life and give life more abundantly. The word of God in Acts chapter 8 tells us very clear that there has to be somebody to go to somebody to ask them if they understand. And the word that came back was, how can I understand if nobody teaches me? This is not something that they had to deal with in the biblical days, so of course you're not going to find it like this. But we're dealing with it today. And we have to find a very, 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 very good way of dealing with this stuff now. So let's do it. Y'all know how to contact us. Those of you who are listening may not be connected with us. Our website is PRF. PRF stands for Possessions, Resources, and Finances. PRF Ministry, that's ministry with the Y, .org. You can find us on Facebook, the PRF Institute. It's PRF Institute. You can find us on Facebook there. You can reach out to us. Our email address is admin, at prfministry.org, or you can call 267-437-7999. Again, 267-437-7999. And so on behalf of all of us here at the PRF table, myself, as one host, Mama as another host. We also have Adia Sanders, who is not with
Thank
us
you.
Today, as another host. We host this thing together. I don't say that I am the host. God is the host. And if anything, we are all co-hosts that come on this radio. We thank you for listening with us. Next month, we have a very exciting series that we'll be doing as we go into our next series. And our next series is Financial Checkup for Leaders. Financial Checkup for Leaders. We'll have two men that I respect. One is Pastor Stephen Garrett of Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church in Phoenix City, Alabama. And the other guest that we will have with us for the month is Major Promotable Darrell Carson, who is over recruiting and retention for the Alabama National Guard. He's in that space. I may not have his exact title right because I'm not looking at the flyer for next month, so I apologize. But he's the one that's making a lot of the calls when it comes to recruiting for the Alabama National Guard, bringing soldiers in. And so I'm glad that I have those two individuals because we've had those conversations as leaders about what we need to do. And so every now and then, Mama, there just needs to be a checkup. There needs to be
yes.
a checkup. We need to be checking in and checking on our leaders and see how you doing. How you doing financially? I ain't talking about what you squeeze out of congregation every Sunday. I'm talking about how you doing financially. If they decide to let you go, where you going to be? You know what I'm saying? It's those type of things. And putting
yes.
some of the things in place that we've been talking about all the time and throughout these 5 years plus that we've been on Blog Talk Radio. And then next month we'll have also on the other show, Your Health is Your Wealth, which is airing on the first and third Friday of the month at 2 p.m. With wonderful hosts out of Atlanta, Georgia, Kimberly Silas. I tell anybody, if you like me on the radio, I am nothing compared to Kimberly. Kimberly has a gift for radio. I just do what I do because God called me to do this. But she is actually a wonderful and the best host that we have on PRF. I'm grateful for her because she gets into how your health affects your wealth. And we're going to have a special guest. So I haven't put her name out there yet, but we're going to have a special guest, or she'll have a special guest on her show coming up. So tune in the first and third Fridays of the month. 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Your Health is Your Wealth, and then tune in to us every week here at the PRF table. It's the same information to contact all of us. If you want to get in touch with Kimberly, you can reach out to her. She's on Facebook as well. You can reach out and send an email or contact by telephone. We'll make sure she gets the message. And also, Mama, we have all of our shows already scheduled for the rest of the year. And so
oh,
we have
okay.
Kimberly's going to be talking with a couple of our insurance partners dealing with insurance. And I hate to say cancer insurance, but it's a word for it. But if I say cancer insurance, some of y'all are gonna pick up on that. We're talking about insurance for folk that have some situations health wise that are just not in a good spot. But they shouldn't be left out to dry, nor should they be left out to die. So we're going to talk about that. She's going to be talking about that. We also going to have Pastor Ronnie Henry out of Frederick, Maryland. He's just on it. It's some wonderful people that God has sent our way to be able to help bring some of these things to life so that people can live this life more abundantly that we know Jesus came for. So stick with
Amen.
Us. Pastors, I'm looking for you. Pastors, I'm waiting for you. I'm just like that father in Luke 15. I'm waiting on you, especially the ones that we've been talking to for years. We're waiting on you. We're waiting on you with open arms. It doesn't matter that you've rejected it. It doesn't matter that you haven't stepped out on faith in the past. All we know is that God has given us life, health, and strength. He's given us another opportunity to be able to do the things that we know we need to do now. And if he wakes us up tomorrow, that's another opportunity. But we don't want to take God's grace for granted and act like we can wait forever, because if you go into the book of Matthew, when the Lord was speaking about those 10 virgins, there was five of them that thought they had all day. And when the bridegroom came, they were on the other side, and I never knew you. So we don't want to hear those type of reports from our master because people did not take the time to plan accordingly. And we're planning. Or, you know, we always talk about Black Friday, Mama. Well, we way
yes.
in advance on that. We way in advance on that. So Again, if you go onto our website, you can look under the events tab, and you'll be able to see all the conferences, the webinars. We have no webinars scheduled for the rest of the year right now. We're done with that for the rest of the year, but we do have conferences that are scheduled as also the topics and themes for the radio shows all throughout the rest of the year. Mama, I done talked myself forth. So let me go ahead and shut this down. God bless y'all. We love you. We do this because of you. Trust me, we do this because of you. This is a labor of love. Nobody pays us to do this, and this is very tiring work. It is work because it's ministry, and so this is just one way that we here at PRF are here to minister to you, the people. So, again, God bless y'all. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. God bless y'all. We'll see y'all next Thursday. Have a good night.